Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a sports trivia question. And because Russell was wanting us to go back to NBA questions, we have NBA scoring feats. Does that make you happy there, Russell?
Depends on if we're going to be talking about stuff from the Toronto Huskies and the Providence
Steamroller. And in the next segment, we're going to introduce our guest, Alan Stein. But Alan, just so you know, Russell just loves when I ask questions like baseball questions from the 1800s and, you know, basketball questions from the 1950s and stuff like that. So, but usually I try to give him somewhat ones to kind of boost his ego a little bit because he's really good at basketball.
Oh, well, I don't know if you'll take a guest question, but I can give a guest trivia question.
Okay. Well, we'll let you do that when we come back from our break. We just have a quick little minute interlude here. So when we come back, we're going to introduce Alan Stein. Then we also have, if we have some, we will definitely have some time talk about some other stuff like the NBA 3-point shootout, which I thought was pretty cool between Steph and Sabrina. And then also the baseball players apparently do not like their uniforms, the new ones that are coming out because they look cheap. And then Olympic boxing, apparently they're going to start allowing a transgender male, or excuse me, not a, but allow transgender males to compete against women. I mean, what can go wrong with that, right? Yeah, just wait till someone gets killed in the ring and then maybe they'll change something. And the NFL just recently fined a Chiefs linebacker for a horse collar tackle on Purdy in the Super Bowl. I mean, it was less than $10,000, but I'm thinking, I mean, it's not like he did it on purpose, right? You know, and they did a penalty, so what's the big deal? Okay. All right. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments' exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Attention business owners. How can you attract 22,000 new customers? How can you generate 10% in new sales? By accepting iTax dollars for sales in the cashless marketplace, your business can access an exclusive cashless distribution channel, attract new customers, and generate new sales. Barbara Hill says,
iTax has been one of the best things I've ever done for my business. It brings me business I would never reach with any other marketing.
It's simply the best cashless marketplace around. iTax will change the way you look at money. Members increase. Increase sales, conserve cash, and utilize a new distribution channel by using iTax dollars to transact business. iTax is the leading marketplace for cashless business transactions across North America. Our members processed more than $300 million in transactions last year. The fact is, iTax dollars work. Isn't it time they started working for you? To register, visit ITEX.com. Promo code 408-408 or call 408-504-8400. For more information.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to ElkCoveInn.com for reservations. That's ElkCoveInn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman. So our guest, Alan Stein. Welcome, Alan, to the Sports Econ 101.
Thanks a lot, Edward and Russell. Appreciate it.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You were introduced to us by somebody who said, hey, this guy might be a good guest on your show.
Yeah. So I have a 30-year career. I've pivoted my career multiple times. Started as a psychologist, then went to Wall Street, then venture capital, then the sports connection. I read the book Moneyball, thought I wanted to be Billy Bean, and I figured out how to get into baseball. I worked for the New York Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays minor league affiliates. Quickly realized that that wasn't the right path for me. Went back to business school, then into big tech. So I worked for Google, Facebook, Salesforce, Tableau. And now, after all of those years in my career, now I help people to land great jobs at the world's best companies, whether it be in sports or tech or pharma or wherever.
Well, let's go back to the sports for a minute. So you read the book Moneyball, which, by the way, we've had Billy Bean on the show a few years ago.
Nice.
It was very interesting. So you read the book Moneyball, and you thought you wanted to be something like, now Billy Bean is a general manager.
Yeah.
Is that what you were trying to shoot for? Okay.
That's what I was. I was a big fantasy baseball fan. I was playing 9 leagues at a time. I was quite good at it. And I thought that I had what it took to be Billy Bean. Like, the book Moneyball came out, I think, in 2003, or like it started, I think it came out in 2004, but I first started reading about it in 2002, 2003. And so I thought I could be Billy Bean.
But how would you go? I mean, unless you know somebody, how do you? It's funny, we're friends with Bobby Evans, you know, general manager of the Giants, winning 3 World Series, and even he's having a hard time, you know, finding another general manager job.
Yeah, it's through building relationships. So through that pivot, I leveraged relationships that I had in venture capital that happened to know some owners of minor league baseball teams. They put me in touch with some of the minor league teams. I wound up getting in contact with the Mets as well, with some conversations and through building relationships. I cold called some people. I got Sal Bando on the phone in the Brewers office. I emailed Mark Shapiro, who was with the Cleveland organization at the time. And then he put me in touch with Chris Antonetti. So just by reaching out in a respectful, humble way, and also, building relationships.
But what was your... I mean, if your goal was to be like a Billy Bean, but you didn't come right in and just say, hey, introduce me to an owner because I want to be Billy Bean. I mean, where did you start off as? What could you offer them to begin with?
I started leveraging my strengths, and my strengths were marketing and business. And when I worked for the Brooklyn Cyclones, my first job as an unpaid intern, I was working in marketing and promotions. I was doing everything from putting Scott Kazmir's jersey on their first eBay store that the Cyclones had, to counting inventory in the merch room, in the merchandise room, and making sure that we had all the different hats and the SKUs properly accounted for. So I did whatever it took to get in there.
I like the hustle. So, but it obviously you're not a general manager now. So, what changed?
Yeah. So on the general manager side, a lot of it is on the people, like the player analytics side and scouting and things of that nature. I wound up getting more into the business side at first because that was my clearer path in, but I got to meet some great people in the player analysis side. But once I got in, I realized how difficult of a lifestyle it would be for me to enter there. First off, working in the summers in minor league baseball, I was at the ballpark from 9 a.m. in the morning till like 1 a.m. at night for like 10 or 14 days during a homestand. And also, I would have to move if an opportunity opened up with the Toledo Mud Hens. I'd have to move to Toledo. If something opened up in Wichita, I'd have to go to Wichita. And I had not started a family yet, but I was dating my wife and we were talking about a family, and she's a doctor in New York. So it was going to be a very difficult path to take that would require lots of sacrifice. And while I think I could have succeeded if I pursued it, I realized that the juice was probably not worth the squeeze.
Yeah, that's my son's favorite phrase. It's funny. I think about like my sports career years ago. I used to be a very good bowler, and so I was semi-pro, but I had to also face the facts that, you know, the sacrifices of I'm good, but I'm not that good. And, you know, there's not that much money to be made. And then all the travel and all the this and that. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do the local tournaments, you know, make a little bit of money and then pursue, a real career, i.e. in business. Russell, you want to ask any questions to Alan here?
So Alan, when you started getting involved, did you get a lot of pushback from, you know, people who were like, hey, get a real job and why are you trying something that is so difficult to accomplish and you should just try the more low-hanging fruit than something as difficult as getting a job in sports is?
Yeah, so my parents definitely pushed back and said, what the hell are you doing? There are a lot of jobs available in sport. So I kind of took a very methodical approach at figuring out the teams and the leagues and building relationships there. So it wasn't easy at first. Like I left my job in venture capital in July of 2003, and it took me October until I landed the job with the Cyclones, the Brooklyn Cyclones, the minor league affiliate of the Mets. So it wasn't easy. And I went down to the baseball winter meetings. I went to the minor league winter meetings. And it was, it wasn't easy per se, but with hustle and with clear goals and with perseverance, it can be done. The question is, do you want to do it? And
you gotta be diehard. It's kind of funny. Brooklyn Cyclones. I understand like Iowa Cyclones or Oklahoma Cyclones, but the Brooklyn Cyclones.
So in Brooklyn, you're obviously not from Brooklyn. There's a famous roller coaster.
Believe it or not, I was born in Brooklyn.
Well, do you know the Brooklyn Cyclone, the roller coaster in Coney Island? I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's named after the cyclone.
Sure. Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
The roller coaster, not the storm.
No, that's not. Okay, we're going to go to our break pretty soon here. But you said you have a trivia question for us?
Yes. So on the topic of NBA and on the topic of careers as well, which player has missed 14,481 shots across their NBA career? This person happens to lead the NBA in total misses of shots. So who is that person who has missed 14,481 shots?
And this is not, you're not talking about the free throw line. You're talking about just regular shots.
NBA total field goals. Like, okay. I'm not sure what it is, but it's total missed shots. So if you look in basketball reference and basketball? You look at who leads the NBA in all time missed shots, who is it?
And it's someone we would know.
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. All right. That's a good trivia question. Well, you know, we're not going to answer it yet. We'll answer it when we come back. All right. Okay. So now we got our first trivia question here. We're talking NBA scoring feat. Oh, amazing NBA scoring feats. All right. And again, Alan, if you know the answer, don't say anything yet until we come back. We'll answer your trivia question first. We'll let you ask it again, and then we'll do this one. Okay. This is for Russell because he loves the old time basketball. During the 1964-65 season, not one, but two players on the Los Angeles Lakers scored over 2,000 points, making the first time this accomplishment had been achieved. Who were these two players? All right, let me ask this one more time. During the 1964-65 season, not one, but two players on the Los Angeles Lakers scored over 2,000 points, making the first time this accomplishment had been achieved. Who were these two players? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101 with Edward Brown, Russell Jackman, and our special guest, Alan Stein. Do not touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman and our special guest, Alan Stein. Now, before I ask my trivia question, Alan, why don't you re-ask your trivia question, and then we'll see if Russell and I know the answer.
Yeah, so which NBA player has missed the most shots all time, a total of 14,481 missed shots?
I'm going to say Jordan.
Okay. Russell, you have a guess.
I'll guess Curry.
Okay. Curry's not even on the list. I think MJ is number 8, if I recall correctly. But number 1 is Kobe with 14,481 misses. And coming up on his heels with 14,313, and I had to Google that this morning, is LeBron. So LeBron will likely pass that this season. But that's actually something that I often talk to people that I coach when they get rejected for job applications. It's like, it's okay to miss your shot. It's okay. Yeah. Keep getting up there and taking your shot. And it worked out okay for Kobe and MJ and LeBron.
Yeah. I am surprised with LeBron Kobe? Because he's always shot LeBron well over 50% in his
career.
Well,
he's just taking so
many shots. Yeah. If you play for 20 years, you're going to take a lot of shots.
I would think that someone in the 40s, that shot more, and that was Kobe, Kobe never shot 50% in any of his seasons. So that doesn't surprise me about Kobe, but it does about LeBron.
And didn't Michael Jordan say you miss 100% of the shots you never take?
That was Wayne Gretzky. Wrong sport.
Oh, wrong sport. That's right. And then pass to where the puck's going to be. That part is also him. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So my trivia question was during the 1964-65 season, not one but two players on the Los Angeles Lakers scored over 2,000 points, marking the first time this accomplishment had been achieved. Who were these two players? Okay. Now you can answer.
I can or Russell.
Go ahead. Either one. Go ahead, Alan.
I think Elgin Baylor was one of them.
Yep. Very good.
Was Elgin Baylor one of them and Jerry West the other?
Yes. And now we know Russell doesn't
told you know something about the NBA.
Yes, I'm very good.
You're talking points and you're talking that era, it's got to be Jerry West because, he scored over 30 points a game and was the logo and all that other stuff. So,
well, I thought, when did Will? Oh, Wilt was still with the Philadelphia Warriors then, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's okay. Because at first I was thinking it was him. But who were you going to say, Alan?
I was not going to guess either of those, but I was going to say number 8 on the all-time miss list is Kareem. Yeah. Wrong era.
I was going to say Kareem was going to be one.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And number 15 on the list of all-time misses is Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, and that's the thing is, you think these centers, their percentages are, should be over 60% at least.
Yeah. But they take lots of shots.
And they play for 20 years or whatever. That's going to be no matter how good you are, you're going to miss a lot of shots. Wow, that's funny because I know Wilt. I mean, you pretty much dunked it all the time. But of course, when you had Bill Russell against you, that's a tough one. All right, so in the studio, so to speak, via Zoom, we have Alan Stein. So Alan, tell us a little bit more now. So did you have a big network in sports previously?
I did not. I built it. I just reached out to a lot of my current network and told them what I was trying to do. And I was just seeking different contacts. And I had a friend who went to Princeton and he knew Mark Shapiro because Shapiro went to Princeton. So that's how I got in touch with Shapiro. And then it was just odd connections from people.
And did you approach them saying, hey, I at the time, were you playing fantasy baseball?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't lead with that. I'm like, oh, I'm a big fantasy baseball fan. I want to work for the Cleveland Indians at the time.
Yeah.
And I just approached with the desire to seek some advice about someone who is looking to transition into sports. And some people would reply back to me. Most people would not. I missed a lot of shots, but a few landed.
Yeah, interesting. I'm part of a networking group that is this guy. He has like a billionaires.com. He spent a lot of money for that domain, and he reached out to Mark Cuban no less than like 100 times. And finally, Mark Cuban gave him an interview. You know, because it's just like he bugged him that much. So again, you know, you put it, cast your bread upon the waters, so to speak. So now how did you build your network?
I would shoot emails out to people. I would often reference who is referring me into them. I would be appreciative of their time. I would just merely seek some advice and ideally have the conversation in person. Although now that was back in 2003 before Zoom was so easy to do. But I would be driving up to like New Brunswick, Connecticut to talk to the owner of the New Brunswick. I forget what their team name was. Oh, the New Britain. The New Britain. I don't know. Joe Maurer was playing on that team at the time. I forget the name of their, the name, the New Britain Bo Sox. I forget the name. But I would just meet with lots of people. I would shoot them emails. I would reach out to them. Sometimes I would call the front office, and through persistence and taking lots of shots, I would get conversations going.
And is that the kind of suggestion you make for people interested in building a career in sports?
I do. And I also went to two big conferences. So I went to the baseball winter meetings, which wasn't as productive. It was cool to go down there and to see a lot of it. Theo Epstein was there.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter Gammons was there. I met him and other folks. And I also went to the minor league baseball meetings in Nashville, Tennessee that year. And that was more productive. People were more approachable at the minor league meetings.
Okay. So now what are you doing anything with sports right now? Or
no, after like a year foray in sports, I decided to pivot out of sports. So I still like sports, but sure, I realized I did not want to combine my worlds. I didn't want my worlds to combine of enjoying sports and work. Because I wound up rooting for rainouts when I was working in baseball because I get to go home earlier. And that's not how I used to like root for things as a kid. And
yeah,
I was kind of losing my joy for it. And the pay wasn't as lucrative until you get really high up.
Sure.
And also, it wasn't the right fit for me.
It's but like I'm glad loving I did pizza. It it's like loving pizza until you work at a restaurant.
Exactly. Now I'm kind of curious, you did 9 fantasy leagues baseball at a time. How much time out of the day does that take?
A lot. I was that's probably one thing that led to me getting fired from the venture capital firm, because I wasn't doing my work and I was just doing a lot of fantasy baseball. Before I had kids, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I played a lot of fantasy baseball. And once I got married, I think I went down from 9 to 7 leagues. And then when I had our twins, I think I went down from 7 to 3. And then eventually, I don't even play fantasy baseball anymore.
Wow.
Because it's really hard.
Oh, okay. That's something we have in common, Alan. That's something we have in common. What age are your twins?
My twins are, they're about to turn 18 this week.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter is 15.
Go ahead, Russell.
Yeah. They're boy girl twins?
The twins are boys and my daughter is a girl.
Okay. Okay. I have boy girl twins and they'll be 13 in August.
Nice.
And you guys decided to stop there, right, Russell?
We were only going to have one. You know, tell me one person in the history of twins that knew they were going to have twins.
Yeah, only if a sonogram showed it.
No, but before they have, you know, you never know that's going to happen. So,
yeah, I can imagine that's challenging. I remember a client having a 2-year-old and then having twins, and thinking, that's going to be a busy household. I can only imagine. Because Russell, you're big on the fantasy football, but that's the only one. Do you do other fantasy sports?
Yeah, basketball, actually. I created my own fantasy basketball game, actually, that I play with my friend. But remember during the lockout, I told you about the statistical basketball game that my friend and I created. Showed you little cards that we did. So yeah, it is a way for you to get very involved in the stats of a particular sport if you play the fantasy side of things, but it can be pretty time consuming.
Yeah.
And emotional.
Yeah, I can just imagine looking, you know, just even doing one league, if you're, you know, looking at all the various player stats, and I mean, and then, you know, you're not talking about one person, you're talking about a team. You know, and playing nine of them, I'm thinking, how do you have time for anything else?
Yeah, well, that's probably why I got fired.
And I guess, can you use the same team for all leagues?
Or I guess but the information, like once you study the league and the players, you can apply that to all your leagues. So the time-consuming area was like preparing for like one or two drafts for the year. And then the next seven or eight, like you already knew your stuff. So it's just a matter of knowing which players are on the board. Yeah.
I wonder how accurate it is for like real, you know, like to really use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
people get hurt and stuff like, tell you what, here, we're going to go to our next commercial break and we'll come back on that. Okay. So talking amazing NBA scoring feats during the 1981-82 season. One NBA team managed to score at least 100 points in every single game. Isn't that amazing? Which team was this? And I'm not going to tell you how many points they average, but if you come close, I'll be very impressed. All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. I'll be right back.
Are you aware of the 30% federal tax credit available now when you purchase a Tesla Powerwall in California? Act now, and you'll not only receive a 30% federal tax credit on your Tesla Powerwall, you'll also reduce your electric bill. Want a free estimate? Want to claim a $100 off voucher for your Tesla Powerwall installation? It's easy. Just call Tesla Powerwall certified installer Integrity Electric and mention the name of our friend, Edward Brown. Call Integrity Electric at 415-499-8844. Once again, 415-499-8844. Since 1993, award-winning Marin County-based Integrity Electric has been recognized as a leader and trusted expert in their field. Our web address, integrityelectric.net. That's integrityelectric.net. Integrity Electric.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit PolioSF.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
In today's real estate climate, where scoring fantastic deals is a challenge, we've got a solution just for you. If you're eager to receive exclusive off-market real estate deals in your inbox every single month, head over to MortgageInvesting.com and enroll in Scottsdale Mortgage Investment's exclusive trade desk. This trade desk offers privileged access to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs, each and every month. Visit MortgageInvesting.com today to sign up and seize exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman and our special guest, Alan Stein. A second trivia question on amazing NBA feats. During the 1981-82 season, one NBA team managed to score at least 100 points in every single game. Which team was this? Anyone?
I'll guess the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay. And Alan?
I don't know if the Lakers were good then or the Celtics. I'll choose the Celtics and I'll choose 109 points.
Okay. So it was actually 126 and a half points, if you can believe that. And you ready for this? It was the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, that was, yeah, I was trying to remember if it was when they were still that, you know, play no defense, Denver Nuggets just ran the ball up and they gave up like about 125 points a game.
Oh, yeah, just because they didn't win the championship till
no.
a while ago. Pretty interesting. Let's tell you what, guys, let's move on for just a minute. So I think this the Steph versus Sabrina NBA the 3-point shootout for the All-Star game was pretty, I think that was pretty good because, you know, in the old days, we used to watch, same thing with baseball. The All-Star game was fun to watch. It was really good. And then for some reason, it just wasn't there anymore. And then with basketball, there was basically no defense. So it really wasn't that much fun. And the 3-point contest, you know, that was kind of fun to watch for sure. So this whole Steph versus Sabrina, I think it really was good for the sport in general. And specifically, I'm going to say for the WNBA, because Sabrina Ionescu, she really definitely held her own. And I'll tell you what I was really impressed with is the fact that she said, I'm going to shoot from the same NBA 3-point line. Now she did use a WNBA ball. So, you know, you gotta go with what you're normally used to, but that was, I thought that was actually very impressive. The fact that she was willing to, she was the one who asked to do it from the WNBA line. What do you guys think?
I think it's awesome. I didn't follow it myself, but I think it's indicative of sports in general, just building their audience across just the male divide. The Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I think, had the best viewership ever, perhaps, and mm-hmm. the Swiftie effect on that, and bringing women into the sports, they're a bigger chunk of the audience. So by all means, like I have a daughter, two sons. My daughter plays as much sports as my sons do.
And the WNBA has definitely come a long way. I mean, you watch some of these women now, they're so much more talented than, you know, years gone by. I mean, even the men, you know, if you go back to the 40s in basketball, you know, they were good, but nothing compared to today. I can't remember what I was going to say about that. Russell, any comments on that?
Well, I was more impressed with McClung winning the slam dunk contest for a second time.
Yeah.
He still is not really on a real NBA roster. I mean, he's probably the best player to never play in the NBA and get the back-to-back dunk titles.
You know? Why isn't he? Why? What's the deal? Why?
He was a backup player for the Warriors, and the Warriors never brought him in from their G League, and now he's in the minor leagues for Orlando. And you'd think of anyone, Orlando's not an an incredible team. They could probably fit him into the lineup, but he's just, you know, on the outside looking in, and, you know, it just kind of shows that you can be a great slam dunker, but not have the rest of the skills that you need to be a success in the NBA. And I mean, we have seen a lot of NBA players that have won the slam dunk contest that really didn't amount to very much otherwise. And I'm wondering if might be McClung's, you know, claim to fame, is that, you know, he's the best player nobody's seen play.
Yeah, he's not that tall either. Was he like 6'2" or something? I know that was really impressive. And the thing is, if you watch it closely, he didn't like put his hand like hard on Shaq's head to get elevation. He did it almost all on his own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a little bit, but not much at all. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive.
And then 211 points scored. You wanted to talk about scoring feats. The fact that, you know, even in a game where nobody plays any defense, to score 211 points in regulation is crazy. And, you know, basically the slam dunk contest and the 3-point contest are basically what the All-Star game has deteriorated to. It is a slam dunk. More guys slam dunk in the regular game of the All-Star game than they do during the slam dunk contest. And more guys are shooting threes than you see in the 3-point shooting contest. And, you know, that's what maybe they, you know, it's become almost the NBA version of flag football, with nobody having any contact with each other and just, you know, standing back and letting guys, you know, haul off and do, you know, 360 degree dunks and shoot from the half court, you know, stripe, you know, to see what they can do to score there. So
the NBA, I mean, it's not supposed to be a contact sport. And I mean, do you think that it's guys not wanting to get hurt? I mean, I understand like college, it's a little frustrating as a fan when you're watching a college bowl game and you don't see the best, you know, the superstars play, because, you know, they're going, hey, if I get hurt, I'm not going to be able to get that big contract. And I kind of understand that, but you know, I wonder how many people regret that afterward. But in basketball, I mean, you can play some defense and not get hurt.
Well, in the All-Star game, guys were like walking away, you know, when guys were having the ball, they were literally, it really does show you what basketball is like if guys play with zero intensity defensively. And really there wasn't that much intensity offensively either. It was either, you know, shoot a three or just walk in and do a layup, you know, or a dunk.
So it sounds like the only reason people would end up watching is just to be able to see all the superstars. You know, you don't see any regular people, regular people, as they say.
Well, it'll be in San Francisco next year. So, you know, save your pennies up now for tickets.
How much does it cost to go to that game?
I don't know. I've actually been to the 2000 NBA All-Star game, and how I got to that game was my friend won tickets to it. So I actually don't know how much it costs to go, but I think they're probably several hundred dollars to go to the game.
Yeah.
And having gone to the game, we were in the same section that Michael Jordan showed up in. And that's all I can remember about the game. Nobody paid any attention to the game. As soon as Michael Jordan walked into our section, we all spent like the entire time just watching Michael Jordan eat popcorn or, you know, talk on his cell phone.
If he was sitting in front of you because he's so tall, did you say, excuse me, sir, can you move please. Over a little bit? I can't see the game.
His entourage of like 500 bodyguards made sure that nobody had anything to do with Michael Jordan that he didn't want to interact with. So, but the entire, I don't even remember what was going on in the game. We were just all watching Jordan do everything during the entire time he was in the audience, and that was it.
I mean, it's funny because I can kind of appreciate, you know, not so much the, you know, oh, I'm better than everybody else, but it's sort of like, hey, I'm here to kind of watch the game. You know, if you're Jordan, here, I'm kind of watching the game. I don't want people keep bugging me. It's like if you're a famous person at a restaurant, you're eating your food, you don't want people keep coming up to you and bugging you.
Yeah, he could have gotten a box. He could have gotten a private box if he wanted that. If he wanted everyone to pay attention to him, he sits in the audience, and that's I think Jordan was Jordan's message.
Okay, I got it. All right, hey Alan, let's move back to you for a minute. So now, what are you doing now? Are you doing anything in sports now, or is it all just strictly the business?
Nothing in sports now. What I do now is I accelerate careers. So in my seven different careers that I've had, I've become really good at getting jobs. I've had 21 jobs at 29 companies, worked for 38 bosses at some pretty good companies. I'm really good at getting jobs. So now with Kadima Careers, the company I founded 3 years ago, we help people get jobs quickly, confidently, and with lots more money. Some of them are in sports. People focus in sports, but some people want to get into tech or pharma or financial services or whatever. But some of the same tactics that I took to get into sports really work to get jobs in any sort of field that you're looking for.
Now, you don't consider yourself an executive recruiter.
Executive recruiters work for the company. So I call myself a career accelerator. Okay. So we work for clients and we get paid by clients and we work with them to get a better job, get more interviews, more offers, and then we help them negotiate like a sports agent. So some people call me like Jerry Maguire, which the only thing that I have in common with me and Tom Cruise are that we're both about the same height. I think he's 5'8". I think he's 5'7", I'm 5'8".
Well, we've had Lee Steinberg on the show a few times, so but he's a little taller than that. Yeah. Can we ask you? You know, what do you charge? Is it based on a percentage of the income that the owner earns?
So we work with people on a personalized basis. We are selective with who we work with. So people apply, and then when they work with us, it's $10,000 until they get a better job. We work with them as long as it takes. Then we help them negotiate the offer. Then we work with them for the first 90 days. We also offer some payment plans as well.
And do you cover a multitude of professions?
Yeah.
I mean, do you specialize in?
We work on sales, operations, finance, marketing, customer success, business analytics, engineering, product management, all over the place. We work with people.
I was going to say, how many clients do you have?
We have about 300 clients that have gone through Kadima, and probably actively now we have about 75, because after they get jobs, they're still part of the Kadima network, but they're no longer actively attending our training and workshops and coaching.
You know, and I think like a lot of the millennials, you know, they do change jobs, you know, a lot more often than like when I was coming out of college. So I would think that they would keep tapping your shoulder, so to speak.
Yeah, between people wanting to look for a better job and people that have been forced to look for a better job because of some of the layoffs that are going on with the economy. Like athletes, like if you look at most athletes, they switch teams every 2 or 3 years. There are some that stay with the team for a long time, but actually switching teams or switching companies is actually more effective for your long-term career growth and career and compensation trajectory.
Well, okay. You guys ready for our last trivia question, our last break here? Amazing NBA feats. And by the way, before we do, Alan, how do people get a hold of you if they want to hire you for your services?
You can go to our website, kadimacareers.com, K-A-D-I-M-A, careers.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Alan Stein, A-L-A-N. Stein, you can look me up under Kadima Careers or Google or Facebook or American Express. You'll see me come up on LinkedIn.
And Kadima, what does that say? How do you get that?
Kadima, when I was naming it with a buddy of mine who's Israeli, I asked him, how do you say the word accelerate in Hebrew? And I forget what he said for that, but he came up with the word Kadima, which means forward. And it was like a childhood game that I used to play on the beach called like Pro Kadima. It was like a paddle game. I actually have it on my back shelf there. And we got the trademark for Kadima Careers as a business service.
Okay, tell you what, here's our last trivia question. Let's going to move on to some more, as they call it, ignoble scoring achievements now. On April 6, 1997, which team managed to score only 2 points in the third quarter against the Lakers? All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dot. We'll be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-514-0521. 800-514-0521. That's 800-514-0521.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman and our special guest, Alan Stein. Third trivia question, 1997, April 6th, which team managed to score only 2 points in the third quarter against the Lakers?
So my first choice would be my son's basketball team, but they're pretty bad. But yeah. I don't think they're the but assuming that it wasn't the basis independent basketball team, I'll choose the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, and Russell?
I'll say the LA Clippers.
No, it was the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh, only they were also pretty bad back
in the
then,
third
too.
Quarter. That's pretty bad.
I did think it might be a Kings kind of record, though. It does sound like it. Kind of the Kings. I know.
Russell has an affinity for the Kings. Alan Stein, thank you again for being our guest today. And you guys ready? Here's our thoughts for the day. So, I have a step ladder. My real ladder left when I was a kid. I'm sorry, that's bad. That's good, but that's bad. If I don't hear a chuckle from Russell, I go, I didn't hit that one.
Work harder, yes.
Yeah, I got to work harder. Okay, and as I get older and remember all the people I've lost along the way, I think to myself, maybe a career as a tour guide wasn't for me. Well, hey, come on, Russell. I got a laugh out of Alan on that one.
Oh, I'm a guest, though. Russell, like, lives with you.
Exactly. He's just trying to be nice.
Yeah, it's like your kids laughing at your joke. They probably never laugh at your joke, but if you invite your kid's friend over, they'll laugh.
That's a very good point. I like that. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Ecom 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective, asking more sports trivia questions, and maybe we'll have better dad jokes. All right, thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
So long.
So long.
Thank you.